Well, good morning. Am I moved next so I don't slip on it? Am I turned on? Yep. Okay, I'm buttoned up. And okay. Have we got a hair place? That's better. Okay, look. as you would have read in the PowerPoint before, today is the last of our summer series. Our summer series basically has been a number of speakers who have been asked to just speak a message that God's laid on their heart for the people. Because we're not given a defined passage to speak on, I've entitled my sermon, Bruce Let Loose. So I've been let loose on you today with no specific passage in mind. Now, in case you're worried, do remember, I'm an accountant, we don't have a lot of flair. The colour on the PowerPoint on the first slide is the only amount of flair that I've allowed myself in this presentation. Okay, so don't expect too much more. Okay. So I want to start by getting the remote out, turning it on. And I want to start by talking you through the dilemma one has when one is asked to speak and told they can speak on anything. Okay, that dilemma is, help, what do I speak on? Normally when you're asked to speak on your passage, you think, how am I going to get something out of all of this little verse, whatever. You give them the whole Bible to speak on, you think, what am I going to speak on? So, it's still, there we go. So, my first thought, I would speak on my favourite verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Those of you who have heard me speak before will know that I have spoken on these verses. I love these verses. I refer to these verses whenever I can. Those of you a while ago have been with us a while might know that I've spoken on my struggles with depression and how these verses and a number of others in the Bible are very precious to me because they talk to me about taking hold of my thoughts when I'm feeling low, when I am feeling in a dark space, to stop, to pause, to take captive thoughts and to let God transform me, transform my mind be renewed. And so that has been, these verses are very precious and very challenging. But I decided that I wouldn't speak on them, but I'd get them in. So then I thought, well, how about I speak on what I'm currently reading in God's Word? And I was reading through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And as I read through, I found myself underlining some verses. These were a couple of them. Chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Ephesians 5:17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So you could see as I was reading God's word, these thoughts are still going through my mind about how do I improve the way I think? What do I need to be changing? What needs to be renewed in me to help me cope with life? But I didn't have a peace about them. I thought there's another group of verses that I was reading, Ephesians, didn't fit in with these, but they just kept coming back to me and coming back to me. And that was Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11. And it said, but God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. This was like a verse that just kept hitting me. Every time I read it, I was like, whoa. God's purpose is to use us, the church, to display his wisdom. Okay, we've talked about, and we talk about living our lives in front of people around us, but this was to display his wisdom in all its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That just absolutely blew me away. And I thought, better put some context around this. What is it that we're displaying? So, we go back to the verses just before. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he said this. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Wow. What a message Paul had. This was the big thing. This mysterious plan of God was now being revealed. This plan where both Gentile and Jews who believe the good news of Jesus Christ share equally in the inheritance. We are all in God's plan. Now, why? Why is that such a big thing? These verses are a few more, so I didn't put them on. I'll read them if you want to turn to your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 2. So before God's even said about this plan, Paul said about this plan, he set the state. We need to understand the state before this plan was revealed. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11 says this. Paul said, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in a world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commands and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death." See, before this mystery, before Christ came, and God's plan was revealed, there had been a whole series of things happening, and people looked forward to things happening and all of that, but they didn't understand, they didn't see how it would all be. Let's go back and look at God's plan of redemption as he's laid it out. We start at the beginning with creation. Man was created by God, innocent, without sin, but able to sin. And we know Adam and Eve sinned, and they were expelled from the garden. And there, right at that time, we find God made clothes for them. He killed slaughtered animals. Blood was shed for this as a result of their sin. The significance of that not really known to them, but we see it by looking back. And then we had that time of, we see God had given a man conscience, and when sin entered in the world, man knew right from wrong. And we have the story of Cain and Abel. And we have the flood coming because of such great sin that had spread and God's desire to punish and to remove the sin. But we know that he knew it wasn't a final completion of removing the sin, because he started a next period with Noah, a man, still a sinful man, coming through. And we have human government. The place grew. Noah and his three sons then formed big communities, and we know they thought that they could become like God, building the Tower of Babel. And so God sent the confusion of language and separated people around the world. We look then and we see they were separate people, separated peoples all around the world, and God calls one man. He gives a promise to Abraham. You follow me and I will make a great nation of you. And we know that he did, and that great that what started as small was the nation of Israel. He followed, and then his people, the 12 the tribes, and they got taken down to Egypt, and they ended up in bondage and wandering around the place. And then God brings forth Moses to lead the people, and he set out in written form the law, the standard for his holiness, so people would understand what he was like, what he expected. And that law, we know that law couldn't save people. It just showed people that they could never meet God's standard. We know that the nation of Israel, Moses led them from captivity. There were some kings who led them before God and sought to live the way God wanted them to live. And there are others that didn't. And God sent his prophets. And some of the prophecies are about what was going to happen to the nation of Israel if you turn your back on me. And they turned their back, and those promises, those prophecies came true. The people were taken off into captivity. They were dispersed around the world. And so we come to the time of Christ. At the time Christ came to earth as a babe at Bethlehem, the Jewish nation had been dispersed. They had come back, a remnant of them, into Israel. And we know there were some who were still looking for the Messiah. There were some who recognized Christ as their Messiah. Christ came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he returned to heaven, and we live now in a period we call a period of grace. It is by God's grace we are saved. We can look back and see the means of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come to the Old Testament people as what they look forward to in a minute. But then we know we are still looking forward to that time of Christ's return, a time where there will be judgment, and then we will enter into the new heavens and the new earth and spend eternity with our Saviour. Ephesians 2 reminded us that until the point of grace, for Gentiles looking on, there was no involvement for them. Now, that didn't mean that God didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. He had chosen the nation of Israel to display to the people around, the Gentiles, who he was. And we know there were some Gentiles who recognized the God of Israel as the one true God. And we know that God accepted them because we read about them in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Rebecca at Jericho. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. She recognized God and obeyed the instructions of God, and she was saved when the walls of Jericho fell. She's in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. She was accepted in because of her faith in God's request. What about Ruth, the Moabitess? There's a whole book of her story in the Bible. She recognized, your God will be my God. She went and she lived amongst the nation of Israel. She honored, worshipped, and obeyed the God of Israel. And she's included in the genealogy of our Christ. So what was the point of all these periods? What's the point of going through this? The point is this. God revealed more and more of himself and his character and his standard and his requirement. But in all of this, God never changed. The God that we talk about today and understand is the same God through all of these periods. And he always required the same thing. And what is that? Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, I think, sums up through all of history what God requires of man. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. These things, these actions, showed the heart of a person. They showed whether the person had faith in God. Romans 4:22, we're told that, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Because he obeyed God. He did what was right. When God called him, he obeyed. He loved mercy. He walked humbly with God. We have plenty of stories of that in the life of Abraham. We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that great chapter about the saints, the faithful Old Testament saints. We're told about the actions of a number of them. And each time we're told it was by faith that they did what they did. We read Isaiah 42 this morning. Carl, wherever Carl is. Read it. Thank you. And it reminded me, and I'm going to add in here just another verse from Hebrews chapter 11. These prophecies, they foretold, they looked forward. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about the people before. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly home. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them. And it goes on. So God had a plan. The Old Testament believers looked, heard what God wanted of them. They acted, they obeyed. That was faith, and it was credited to them as righteousness. That God could look and say, based on what Christ is going to do, you are redeemed because of your faith in me. We have the privilege and the blessing of being on the other side of Calvary. And we can look back and we can see and understand and have explained to us what Christ has done to redeem us. But that same work of Christ at that time is effective for those before and for us after. So, why did Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 strike me so much? This is why. My thinking in all of those verses as I went through that was me, me, me. Oh, and maybe God and what he can do for me and my thinking and all of that. I came to those verses and you know what? It just struck me again. This is not about me. This is not about us. This is about God. We talk about giving honor and praise and glory to God. How do we do that? We are doing that by being his people. As a church, as a body of Christ, now the mystery revealed, Gentiles and Jews who by faith believe and accept God is their Lord and Saviour and Christ and his work at Calvary, are united as one, and we are showing forth to the rulers and authorities outside of this earthly realm who God is, how great he is, what an amazing almighty plan he has. You see, when it talked about rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, you've got to say, well, who are they? Well, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to be very clear. None of them were surprised with anything. Sin entering the world was not a surprise to them. They knew and had a plan even before the beginning of time. So who is it for? We're left with the angels. We're left with the angels that are God's angels and the fallen angels and the leader of the fallen angels, Satan. We are witness We are demonstrating how great God is in all he is doing and done in his great plan of redemption to all these angels and demons and Satan himself. Now, at this point, you may be saying, so what? You might be saying, great, Bruce Let Loose has just given us a very sketchy, very, 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 very brief timeline of the story of the scriptures. Fair comment. So, let's get to the so what. What is our response to all of this? Fortunately, you don't have to put up with my response to this, because we have Paul's response. The one who God revealed this to, as we read, God chose Paul to reveal this mystery. And having had it revealed, what was the Apostle Paul's reaction? Well, let's look at that. In verses 14 to 19, the first thing, what was his action? In response, he said this: when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. His first reaction was to turn and talk to God. What was his request when he talked to God? He said, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. In looking at this whole plan, Paul could see the almighty power of God. As we look at the plan, how he has interacted and what he has set out from the beginning, before the beginning of time, through to the end of time, his plan in action, we can see his glorious, unlimited resources. And that's what Paul prayed that each of us would have through his Spirit. And we know from other scriptures that we're told that when we confess and declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, he gives us his Spirit to indwell us as a seal, guaranteeing our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. He gives us his Spirit. And Paul's praying that the Spirit that we have already in us as believers will strengthen us with all the power and all the might that God has. He then carries on. And what's the reason? Why did he ask for this? Not just so that life could be easy, so that Bruce Stormer would not go into dark places and depression at times, and that he would have a quick get out of jail flick switch sort of thing to get out of this. His reason was this. His reason was, then Christ will make his home in our hearts as you trust in him, so that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, not do, but should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. You see, the reason Paul wanted people to understand, to have the power of Christ in their heart, was they could understand, they could grow into so much more an understanding of how much God loves them. We look at the big plan, God Almighty, but in his big plan, he loves you and me deeply. So deeply that he gave Christ, his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer. So what's the result that Paul wanted as his reaction? The so what? What was the result? And then he said, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. The so what for Paul was to understand what this mystery, to understand this plan of God, was that we might have complete fullness of life and power that comes from God. Why? And I think this is really comes back to these verses 10 and 11. Why? Not for our own benefit. but that we might be witnesses to God and give glory to God, not just here on earth, but for all heavenly beings. It is bigger than me. It is bigger than you. It is bigger than this world. It is giving glory to God through the whole universe. So the challenge for me, and the challenge that I give to you, is this. What will you do this week to renew your mind, to renew your heart, to renew your understanding of who God is and of how great His love for you is? See, at this point I bring in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 again. Can't get away from them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is your act of worship. What's your response to God's love? I just want to finish by, I know that sometimes if you're like me, and I've talked with Ruth, we're like this, we forget sometimes when things happen and it's come down into our own little, and I'm no good at this, I'm no good at that. I just wanted to put this up to remind you about the love of God. You are loved by Jesus, higher than the sky, deeper than the ocean, and now I need binoculars to read the rest. My printer wasn't working. Okay. No, but there's words above it. More than you've ever dared to dream. Okay? Someone read it out who can read it from this way. What's it say next, Robin? Can you read it? Yep, the hairs on your head are numbered. Oh, there I could. Okay, here you go. I should have done this in the first place. All right. The cares in your heart are two. So the hairs on your head are numbered. The cares in your heart too. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a purpose, and there's a good plan for you. You are fully and beautifully known by one who loves you more than you can ever imagine. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are great and almighty, that you loved us and that you have redeemed us. You set your Son's face to Calvary that he might come as a sacrifice because of his perfect life, and he was without sin. He was able to take the price of my sin, of our sin. And we can enter into your presence today. Father God, we thank you for those in the past in Scripture who did not see your, who saw the promises in the future but did not understand how they would come about. We thank you for their faithful witness and testimony to you and to us. For us who can look back and see what you have done, Lord, we give you thanks. But Lord God, help us today to realize that it is not about us. It's not about me just getting to heaven. It's about living to bring glory to your name, not just here on earth, but in the heavens around. Lord God Almighty, you are wonderful. You are all powerful. We pray that we would understand just a bit more of your love, that it would grow we would grow our roots of our hearts deeper into your love and secured for the times that are hard, Lord, that we would always remember to turn to you. You are great and almighty. We give you thanks and praise and worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.